This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Ellen Hahn, Bart Scott. Bart. Giants fans are going to want this number. They're going to want to. This is what a morning for Giants fans. What a Sunday for Giants fans. What a time.
Give it to them.
Wait. I also, before you give them the number, let's remind them that on Friday we told them this was possible. You broke down how to do it. You broke down what had to happen. And it happened. And the Giants now have the best chance to win the NFC East and make the playoffs in Joe Judge's first season with this young team. And this is what we want. A fun team developing, trending in the right direction,
yep,
with great potential. And that's what we've got. So Giants fans, that's what you got. And so give them the number.
I'm going to give it to him. It's 1-800-GIANTS. Let me say that again. It's 1-800-919-3776. Or if you put 1-800-GIANTS, it just might get you through, because that may be the key code to everything in New York right now, because that's the team that's keeping us afloat. That's the team in 2020 that may give us some hope. Now, I know the Yankees gave us a little bit. The Knicks will be coming, but the Giants have put themselves in position to go to the postseason. I don't see how they lose it unless the Washington Redskins football team could pull a rabbit out their hat today. But right now,
yeah,
Giants, it looks like you have the clear path.
So the FBI says, and I love referencing this now every week because it gets interesting. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, 65% chance to win the division now. In week 8, it was 2%, Bart. 2%.
Listen,
so, yes,
streaking.
It's right there. You're right. We're going streaking in the quad, baby. That's what you've got right now. But there's a swagger about this group now. Like, this was the game. This was sort of that statement game, wasn't it? Like, this was the game for Joe Judge's group, for the Fighting Joe Judges, where you want to see, all right, these last couple of weeks, you've been kind of playing teams that aren't, you know, like the Eagles are a complete mess, right? The Washington's Washington. But this was a game with, all right, let's see what you're made of. Going on the road, playing this offense that is just lighting people up. What can you do? Metcalf, scary. And what did they do? And you've mentioned that their defense, which held the Seahawks to 12 points and had Pete Carroll just talking to himself. He even said, like, I can't figure out what happened. And I can't see that wasn't us. But there's something going on, not just with the defense, with guys like Carter Coughlin, no relations. Who the hell is Carter Coughlin? A seventh-round pick, and he's coming in making plays? They're developing. It's not just the Bradberries.
Remember what we
it's
said about
exactly teaching, which is what Joe said in his introductory press conference. That's exactly how he put it. Teachers. I want teachers on my coaching staff. We've got to teach. So you'd mentioned the Logan Ryans and Leonard Williams. Yep. And you mentioned the Bradberries. Get them and went out and got some guys you've heard of. This defense isn't so bad. They've got
Dexter,
guys you've heard
Dexter
of.
Dexter Lawrence, yeah.
Dexter Lawrence is a first-round draft pick. But I'm going to name you other guys that I've never heard of before. Seventh-round picks that are coming in and just getting it done. And, Bart, that's what it's about. That's when you know you've got something. Right. And whatever happens now at the end of this Giants season doesn't matter. They have shown you they are trending in the right direction. And then you have this, Jarrell Peppers, who's another one of those name-brand kind of guys on this defense. And he said this before. He said, I'm not going to lie, the team had a different swagger and a different juice today, because we knew if we played our brand of football, tough, hard-nosed physical football, we could shock a lot of people. And they did, didn't they?
Exactly. And listen, they knew how they had to get it done, right? We knew that if we heard a score 17-12, 10-7, you know, 20-17, then the likelihood is that that's the only way that the Giants could win a football game. Mm-hmm. But we knew if we heard it in the 30s or we
especially
heard
with
20s.
No DJ. Right.
Yeah, yeah, we heard 30s or 20s. We knew that Seattle had their way. So what they did is they did what most one-handed fighters or one-handed players do. They made you play their type of game. They made you play an ugly type of game. They never allowed Seattle to be able to get enough separation, even when it was 5-0. They let them get enough separation in the red zone early on when they had to kick the field goal on the first drive instead of going out and getting a touchdown. Never allowed them to have that comfort of having a 1 point or a 2 point kind of lead where they felt like, you know, they could get away from their running game. I mean, Wayne Gallman brings up another issue, and I know it's all sunshine and roses, but looking at Wayne Gallman averaging 8.4 yards a carry in this gap scheme, which could be a scheme that's just better suited for what his skill set is, makes you wonder, you know, do you go out and spend $16, $15 million a year for Saquon Barkley, or do you make Saquon Barkley have to have one of these Alvin Kamara years? Because if he's not going to be Alvin Kamara, if he's not going to be...
Well, he's got to get healthy.
I'm saying period, because you have to make the decision soon, right?
Yep.
You got to make this decision soon. You got to say, hey, either you got to be McCaffrey or you got to be Alvin Kamara. Because if you're not those two players, those are the only players in the league that are worthy of that type of salary. Because you can find productivity at the running back position, you know, at a much cheaper price, at maybe $5 million a year. Right, we saw Le'Veon. Le'Veon, you know, isn't that player anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if that's not the case, if he can't be a guy that's threatening to be able to have 1,000 and 1,000 or 1,000 or 1,218, if he's not a guy that's going to consistently give you 2,000 yards of total offense, then you have to say, you know what, it's best that we go out and we try and find other places to improve our football team. Because now you're saying, okay, wow, Big Cat was on that 1 year. Now he's earned the money, right?
He didn't earn half sacks.
He didn't earn it the year before, right? When they traded for him, but maybe he wasn't comfortable. Maybe that wasn't the best scheme for him.
Well,
but
now, the year. Yeah.
So now he's playing to the way that you're going to have to give him the $100 million that he wants. So now, are you going to be able to give Leonard Williams that money and pay Saquon? You don't want to tie that type of money up. So you got to say, okay, is it harder to replace Leonard Williams than it is to replace the productivity of what Saquon Barkley has given us? And the answer is, it's going to be harder to replace Leonard Williams. So he's still, remember, he's equally as young as Saquon. So it's one of those things where you have to, you know, it's about the
distribution. It's what you value and what's replaceable. And I just feel like that's why it's a great thing to bring up. I mean, you know, we really do want to focus on the win at this point, but it is certainly a side topic here. Seeing Gallman getting comfortable and more comfortable, seeing the change with the offensive line philosophy, as obviously they had that controversy, they ended up firing the coach, they bring in a new offensive line coach, and the offensive line has played, the offensive line was fantastic. Now, I know the Seahawks don't exactly have that Legion of Boom anymore, like you always say.
But they still have good linebackers. They got Snacks Fat Butt right there. They got Dunlap.
They were the Legion.
Plan. They ain't had no Boom.
And they still don't.
Dunlap's been doing his thing. So we can't say that this isn't a much improved front seven. This is
a
defense that's been playing better.
I got to cut you off real quick here.
Ooh,
Adam Schefter. All right, we have breaking news.
Hit it.
Can't wait.
Greg Williams was fired. By the Jets.
So we know who he's going to put the blame on.
Wow. Was Chris Johnson that mad? We know this was Chris Johnson's decision. This is nobody else. Anybody saying that Adam fired him? You don't know how this works. Adam didn't fire him.
That takes a whole...
Chris Johnson, this is a Chris Johnson thing. Chris Johnson probably was so livid that they lost this game.
This takes a whole section out.
I want to talk Giants here, but this is a huge story that we've got to get to.
Because we wanted to get the Marcus May, but I guess the organization agreed with him.
the players must have been furious, and those who do have access to Chris Johnson probably said so. They had to have said so. I mean... You had to have a feeling that this was going to come. Those players were probably like looking at him like, why would you call that? It's in his history to do this.
But nah.
But that, yeah, no. That's a terrible. Like, we'll talk with Rex Ryan at noon. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about it. But
yo.
But this is one of those things where immediately he gets fired. And I'm sorry. My first reaction right away is you fired the wrong guy or not enough.
Yeah, Jets. I mean, just like it, right, the Jets. You know, we're trying to glow and wax poetic like we rarely do about the Giants, and here come the Jets. No, no, no. We ain't gonna let the Jets hijack the show just yet. They're gonna have their time. Let's get back to Saquon and Leonard Williams and Joe Judge and this team that showed their ass off yesterday, showed a level of toughness and commitment to execution and really playing the game plan like we haven't seen them play since I've been here. Well, not since I've been here, but since I've been on radio.
All right, we'll add this to the question. From the Jets' perspective, and I said this yesterday on Twitter, and I was feeling it the whole way, and I can't let go of this. I hated yesterday's game as a Jet fan. I hated every minute of it. Every minute of it. There was nothing enjoyable. You know why? Because we are forced to feel uneasy about what could have been a win. They were winning, and I couldn't feel good about it because I was like, they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence.
They're going to Steph Curry.
Here we go again. Thank you, Steph Curry. I watched it happen, and I'm like, I can't even enjoy this. And Sam played well. Sam had moments, I should say. I don't know if he played well.
Yeah.
He had a couple
turnovers.
Of bad throws, yeah. But he also looked. He had a determined game. Let me put it that way. The running game, those young guys running the ball. Like there were some moments where I just thought, you know, they got some ballers, man. They're going to be all right. And I felt good. But I'm in such a terrible mindset right now that I couldn't even enjoy. And then when they do what they did, and they go cover zero, and they got some. Who was it that, by the way, was doing jumping jacks in the middle of the field trying to block a pass?
It had to be Neville Hewitt. Yeah. It had to be Neville Hewitt.
Was it Neville Hewitt? It was somebody where I'm like, what are you doing? What are you trying to knock? It's like if he was trying to knock down a punt. So, anyways, I'm watching that. Ruggs catches the damn thing. And now I'm like, I exhale going, all right, dodged a bullet. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
They lost, and I'm okay. Like, that's the problem right now. We're in this place where Greg Williams might end up like Sam Hinkie is in Philly. That if they get Trevor and start, and then it turns into like a 10-year Hall of Fame career, we're going to look back and say, you know what? Thank you, Greg Williams. Greg Williams saved the franchise, and he got fired the next day.
Greg Williams, Lamar Jackson, Henry Ruggs, charities should be having at least $100,000, $200,000 apiece in them right now. Jet fans, do what the Detroit Lions fans did to Deshaun Watson for getting Matt Patricia fired. Greg Williams potentially just saved your life. He got you for Trevor. He gives you the option to get Trevor Lawrence. And Henry Ruggs played a role in it, so you got to donate to his charity, too. Before we get out of here, I want you to look up Henry Ruggs and see if he has a charity. And we're going to mention it on the air. So Jet fans.
Henry Ruggs? Greg, for calling that play. Marcus May obviously was livid after the game about it. Like I said, it just feels like players got to the owner. This is not everybody, and Bart, I think you can back me up. This was not Adam Gase's decision.
No.
This was not Adam Gase's decision.
No, you call it a play. Yo, we'll get to that later. I want to stay on the Giants because
I do want to
stay
out of this.
We get to the Jets. They're going to take the whole show. So we going Jets? We going straight green?
Well, this is news now. This is breaking news. It just happened.
Okay.
So we got to stick with this for a minute, but I promise I do want to get to I want to stay with the Giants or get back to the Giant Calls. We have the Giant Callers already up, and we got to get the Tess, of course. She's all fired up. But I'm telling you. I'm sure Gase wasn't happy.
It's the best of both worlds, though.
He doesn't have the authority to make this decision. Because remember, he was hired with the caveat that Greg Williams has to be your DC.
Exactly.
Remember, he would have fired him long ago.
Yeah, he wanted his father-in-law to be the defense coordinator, Joe Vitt.
Right. So you agree with me then that this was above Adam Gase?
No, absolutely.
Probably above Joe Douglas.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this was with Joe Douglas because Joe Douglas was livid too because Joe Douglas don't want to tank, right? He wants to win. Like, so he probably still believes in Sam Darnold. He probably saying this is the best way to clarify because if Sam Darnold wins a game, you're not getting Trevor Lawrence and you're not trying to get Justin Fields. So if he wins, you go with Sam Darnold. So I think that's you know, even though Joe Douglas may think that Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback, I think that he's already convinced himself that Sam Darnold isn't the problem. that it's the people around Sam Darnold. Remember the promise that he made to his parents, too.
Yes.
That he was going to protect them and that he was going to get the pieces around him. Now, he did a great job by going to get Mekhi Becton and not going to get one of these, you know, Jerry Judy's of the world or CeeDee Lambs. He made sure that he protected them by putting somebody there that can physically protect him from harm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to continue that. So I think that he believes that he can win with Sam Darnold and having two first-round draft picks and moving down. I think that that Douglas believes in the moving down, getting more assets. Where, you know, you look at the fan base wants to reset the clock and get, you know, the best quarterback and hoping that he looks like Herbert or Joe Burrow next year.
Let me ask you this. If they get the two pick, let's say they do get a win before it's over. Jacksonville stays where they are. And Jacksonville almost got that second win, man. That would have been also something
that's
if they had gotten that win.
Mike Glenn don't know his role either. Like, Mike, we ain't trying to win, bro. Hold up, man. We going to put Minshew in here.
Right. But still, if you think about it, if they end up with the second pick, do you feel like Joe would then trade that down
and
let someone else get Justin Fields? Because you might look at it and think, we have Sam, and I'd rather have Sam, who's already here, than Justin Fields and reset. Trevor's a different story altogether.
Yeah, Trevor's on another level from any of the other players out there.
So if they get the second pick, you could see him then offering it up to teams like whoever needs a quarterback, young quarterback.
Well, the Colts, right? The Colts, listen, the Colts have shown that they would trade a first-round draft pick in a second. So if you saying, you know, you're moving, and remember, like, it was the Colts that gave Sam Darnold to us, right? Because we traded the three number twos to move up, and they moved down.
Right.
Because they thought they had their quarterback. Well, now
that's right,
they don't have their quarterback anymore. And if they can, you know, move up, they'll give you their first-round draft pick, I'm sure, which is going to be a low first-round draft pick. But then now you still have two first-round draft picks, and you can get some more pieces for them. So maybe you can get a first-round draft pick and two number twos from them and have two number twos. So now you have
still gathering your the weapons.
Yeah, you still have your two number twos, and you'll still have maybe next year three number twos. And when you get them for that, I don't know what other draft capital they have, but I absolutely can see that. You look at another team outside of you know, maybe the Lions want to move on from Stafford, right, or bring in his successor and go in another direction. Maybe Philadelphia, if they don't make the playoffs, right, they're going to be sitting there. I know they took they take him with the first round, so it doesn't matter. He's a second-round draft pick, so they still may want to take him in Philly as well. So you start looking at those type of teams that potentially you can move with. Chicago, right? Chicago doesn't make it, right? They may give you their first-round draft pick, and that draft pick may be how they look in losing to the Lions yesterday. That draft pick may be top 10, 15, 13. So listen, that's what's at stake, and that's how big that throw and that call was yesterday, because it potentially is a franchise-altering decision made by Greg Williams. And he put that decision on the shoulders of a rookie cornerback, the other Lamar Jackson.
The other Lamar, yeah.
I think the real Lamar Jackson would have been better stride for stride, because he's faster than the other Lamar Jackson, that he might have been better for that play.
Oh, my goodness.
With COVID.
If you didn't hear, Marcus May, a postgame, was very critical of Greg Williams. If you just joined us, the Jets have just, they didn't announce it, but Schefter and several others now reporting that the Jets have fired Greg Williams. So he is gone after yesterday and that decision to go all-out blitz in the final seconds of what turned out to be a loss on a play, on a one-on-one.
Hail Mary.
Where Carr just threw it up, Ruggs caught it in the end zone, and the Jets end up getting their 12th loss. They're 0-12 this season. And as from a Jets fan perspective, you don't know how to feel. It's a little apathetic, I think. It's weird. But from the Jets players and organization, they were embarrassed. And so clearly, they held him accountable. May after the game, here's Marcus May and his reaction when he heard the play call in, the final play of the game, and it was all-out blitz. Take a listen.
I mean, everything is happening fast for me. The call came in, you know, a lot of things running through our minds and everything like that. So, you know, we just played the call that the coaches called and got to execute, but you got to help us out at the same time, just being a, you know, better call at that spot.
Better call at that time, right? Better call at that time. Marcus May also on more criticism of that play call.
Just felt like we could have been a better call at that time in that point of the game.
How tough a spot is that for Lamar Jackson to be out on an island there facing arguably one of the fastest players in the league?
It's extremely tough. That situation, just got to be in a better call.
And now he was also asked if he's now think he's going to hear about it from upstairs, from team leadership, that he's criticizing the coaching staff.
I don't necessarily think I'm criticizing anybody. I just feel like just different situations could have played out better. That's it.
So, Bart, again, a player, and he's a leadership voice on this team, a player calls out the coach. This has to be where Christopher Johnson probably said, all right, we got to do something here. We got to make the move. My question is, if you're firing Greg Williams, why wouldn't you also fire Gase too? Does this give you any indication that Adam Gase has some type of a better standing with the organization than Greg Williams would?
Zero standing.
Like, zero.
The problem is, like, Adam Gase is the head coach, so he's responsible for practice, how practice is run. He's responsible for addressing the media. It's a lot more things that go with being the head coach of a football team than just coaching a team. It's a lot of things that they do behind the scenes that it's hard to just ask. Who would you ask to be the head coach? It would have been Greg Williams. So who you gonna have now? Jim Bob Cooter, Darryl Loggins? Like, who the hell?
Well,
gonna
clearly
have?
they didn't want Greg Williams taking over as head coach.
But
it was clear that they didn't want that.
But what I'm saying is before. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so no, like, earlier, because they would have done that. They would have just gotten rid of Gase. They would have made Greg Williams like he did in Cleveland, just finish out the season.
Right.
But they never went to that.
So what I'm saying is, who's next? Jim Bob Cooter? Like, who?
Yeah.
Who's that? So you got to let Gase ride it out.
I don't know how to feel, though, Bart. I don't know how to feel that they legit want to win a game before it's over. How do I feel?
You won't know how to feel. But guess what? How are you going to feel when that draft come around?
That's what I'm saying, though. You're but, Bart, that's my...
You know, with Ric Flair...
What kind of fan am I that I don't want to see them win a freaking game this year? What kind of fan am I? What's wrong with me? I don't want them to win. But they do, and I'm worried they're going to win. What is wrong with me as a fan? They're going to win a game, and I don't want that.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Listen, you're a fan that has a lot of scar tissue, right? You've seen the team on the cusp of being horrible, and you're like, what is one win going to mean? That's instant gratification. But in the long term, what does that mean when you don't get Steph Curry?
I know what it means. I saw it. I was there.
What does that mean when you tank, but you didn't tank good enough to get Zion? How do you feel? So
you're so bad, you can't even tank right.
As much as you hurt today, when that draft come around, man, and that beautiful blonde, auburn, sun-bleached hair is just flowing in some type of good suit, and he's put on another 10 pounds. He looking jacked up on Mountain Dew. He looking like sunshine off Remember the Titans. And he's sitting there, and you seeing him doing his pro day, and that ball is going, zing, 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 zing. You're like, oh, my goodness. It's all worth it.
Here, Bob was using.
Bob was using. Oh, there you
Bob
go.
Bob was using. Lawrence to Mims, and it's a touchdown.
Exactly.
Again, over and over and
exactly.
over.
Exactly. When you do that, when you do that, you're going to call Greg Williams, and you're going to say thank you. You're going to say thank
you. Put him in the Ring of Honor.
Put him in the
Ring of Honor.
At least give him the team MVP for this year. Nobody else played good enough to be the team MVP. Okay, Becton and Quinnen Williams. Put him as team. Over there, I don't know if anybody listening has ever been over to the Jets practice facility for practice or camp. They have a wall, and it's a stainless steel wall. And every year, they put the team MVP. I don't care who played on the field. If you get Trevor Lawrence, damn it, you put Greg Williams' name right there. And not only that, you put a picture of his little curly hair with his glasses and his goatee. I want an image so people can know when you see him in the streets. And Greg Williams is going to be walking around somewhere in Arizona or Florida, wherever he chooses to retire. People are going to be saying, thank you very much. What are you talking about? Thank you very much.
Right.
Because guess what? It's more Jet fans in Florida and Arizona than any other place. So go there, Greg Williams. Take a bow. You deserve it.
I agree with you. My fear is they're still trying to win. That's my fear.
Yeah,
and that's where I don't know how to feel, and it's the most conflicting place right now.
How's the defense going to look without Greg Williams calling plays? Because
well,
you can say whatever you want. The defense was okay yesterday. I mean, outside of Waller going for a career high.
They could defend a tight end. That'd be great, but... Yeah, other than that, I'll tell you what, though. What I do have right now, Bart, 800-919-3776, I do have envy. I have Giants envy.
Okay.
In many different ways. From a Jets perspective, I do. From a Knicks perspective, I do. I'm looking at the Giants, and I'm saying to myself, there's a franchise that looks like they've got it figured out, and they're heading in the right direction. Adam Schefter, several others reporting that the Jets have fired Greg Williams after yesterday and his all-out blitz call on a final play that resulted in a game-losing touchdown for against the Jets for the Raiders. And obviously everybody at Florham Park is livid about this. But Jet fans, as I said, tell me how I'm supposed to feel. You know, Dre on Twitter said, today is a glorious day for Jets fans. Greg Williams did us a huge solid. Bottle of tequila on me, Greg. The tank for Trevor is real. I mean, that's you're getting that kind of Gotham City crew. I don't know how to feel. I'm seriously thinking that there's a strong possibility Gase is back in 21. We don't believe that.
Nah, negative.
Right? We don't believe that.
Negative.
But it's crazy.
We don't even know if this dude's calling plays or not. We don't even, what the hell?
But, you just obviously you don't know how to feel. Meanwhile, on the Giants side of things, you know how to feel. Excited. Generation. Optimistic.
9-7. They're going to be 9-7, baby.
Well, I don't know about 9, but they can get to 7 wins, though. Because getting this win, there's 4 left. Arizona, Cleveland, at Baltimore, Dallas.
All of a sudden,
Arizona's struggling. Your favorite quarterback. They're mm-hmm. struggling right now. They've lost 3 in a row. Cleveland's playing. I mean, they're playing.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Really well. Baltimore, as we know, they're an anomaly right now. They're a bit of a weird team right now. Don't know what you're going to get from them. They do have their issues, especially with that offense.
We're going to see Tuesday what they got. They back, baby.
Good point.
If Lamar Jackson's back. If everybody's healthy, Calais Campbell coming back. So we'll know.
And then you're home against Dallas for the season, for the finale on the 3rd of January.
Yeah, homecoming. That's homecoming.
And you've got, by then, you think the Cowboys players are pretty much shutting it down, right? Like, if they're out of it. So that should be a game you get as well. And if you can get 2 more, that gets you to 7-9, which, yes, it's still a losing record, but at least you're not the, like, you don't want to be the, you know, if you want to avoid things, a 6-win division winner, people can call you out on. But a 7-win division winner's happened before.
In the way they played yesterday, that's a 7-game winner or 6-game winner that a team ain't going to want to come over and travel across town, especially if it's one of those West Coast teams that has to come out here into that. You know, could you imagine if Seattle had to come out here?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they've already played Seattle, and they have confidence in how they can play them. And then this time they have Danny Dimes with them. So it's a realistic chance that they can win one.
And right? Obviously get a playoff game.
They get a playoff game, and they might get somebody from the NFC West.
Suddenly your outlook on this franchise now, the Giants start coming back now as that, again, another franchise you can trust in this city as we're looking for teams going through a lot of different rebuilds all across the board. You're seeing them and Joe Judge doing things right. And I'll go back to what I said on Friday. If I'm Dave Gettleman, I'm sitting back, a little glass of scotch, maybe a little cigar and a cognac.
But
I'm just looking, I'm just giggling, I'm just laughing, like, huh, you want to fire me now? Oh, okay.
It's amazing how people wanted to fire Bowles after being 10-6 and missing the playoffs, but the Giants might go 6-10 or 7-9, and people want to have a parade for everybody. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's all about perspective. And by the way, perspective we need right now as we begin the calls. It's Tessa and Wes Caldwell. We got to hear from Tessa.
Hit the music.
How you feeling today, Tess?
And I'm on the mic.
Listen, I just want to start out with this one statement, if I may, and then I'm going to make a comment on my Giants. Listen, we know where your heart is, Allen, as a Jet fan. We know all-time great Jets. But I'm not even going to ask, because I know you're never going to get it. But damn it, can we get 15 minutes of just talking about us?
That's what I said.
18 minutes talking about that hot garbage over there. Our neighbors. Knock it off with them. We knew somebody was about garbage. Allen, I was going to congratulate you for winning.
We had breaking news. I had to go to it.
We don't want to hear it. Give us Giants fans 15 freaking minutes of just feeling good about ourselves.
That's what we were doing.
Now I'm salty. Thanks a lot, guys. But I'm going to get over it in 2 seconds. But I just want to say we don't want to hear about the hot garbage over there. Trash. Done. We don't want to hear about it.
We know we live right now.
Y'all talk about it with Rex at 12. Not wearing up with us. We online ready and decided to talk to y'all. And you got to bring up that hot garbage. You knew somebody was getting fired this morning. It wasn't going to be Gates. You knew somebody had to be the scapegoat. That's what they wanted. They wanted to look. Listen, Greg Williams, take this L for us. You already had an L over there with the Saints. Take this for us. Da, 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 da. You knew somebody was getting fired. We don't want to hear about that. On that note, let me talk about my G-Men. Okay.
Breathe, dog.
I'm breathing right now.
It's a full training day.
I'm going to tell you right now. Yesterday, I said, what I tell y'all, one game at a time. This game yesterday, that lets you know our defense is the truth. We are for real. We've been playing lights out four games in a row, lights out. But, you know, we playing against losing teams that we never getting our just due. That was ridiculous yesterday. Did you see Jabril push through the pile, knock Carson on the ground? And it was just insane. It was like, whatever you could do, I could do better. Mm-hmm. Metcalf couldn't even take his passy out. You didn't have nothing to celebrate. So you had to keep that passy right in your mouth, Metcalf, all game. Yeah, you got a step on her once. Yeah, you got that little stiff arm there, but it was kind of fall. Oh, it doesn't matter. You never took the passy out at all because our defense was playing and lights out. Colt McCoy did exactly what he's supposed to do, dinking and dunking. That's all we wanted you to do, and you did it. How are we going to go into the Legion of Boom, like Bart said, just Legion, and win like that? That's crazy, because you know what? We're on the up and up. Just we're on a trajectory going up to the stars. Like, we like the little stars right now. I'm souped. I'm hyped. Can't nobody say nothing. I'm not sitting here saying we're going 9 wins and nonsense, but you know what? Seattle won their division 7-9. Nobody was talking about Seattle. Oh, they're still garbage. No. If we could get the 7 wins, give us that. We're playing great. As far as, like, the defense, as far as what we're giving. We're playing great, guys. You know what I'm saying? We look crazy right now. Like, our defense is insane. We got to be at least top 8, Bart. You think we top 8? You think we top 8, Bart, the defense?
Top 10 right now.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Thank you. That's all I'm saying. Just give us the credit. Right now, we are balling. Defense is crazy. And I'm just excited for next week to go against the pocket Rocket, because you know we're going to shut him down, too. I'm so excited next week to go against
Kyler Murray. But the thing is, going against Russell Wilson is kind of similar to going against Kyler Murray.
Just all about content.
A guy that just wants to run a little bit more. So I guess that's
and another great receiver you got to deal with too.
Right, you can have a similar game plan defensively about that. Right, so that's a good thing. And also like now for the Giants, we've seen it on film now, so we've seen it, so we expect it now. So don't let us down, because now we expect to see this type of...
Oh, the standard's been set. Yeah, I'm with you. The standard's now been set.
Because now you're going to get more people buying in. Because when we have any New York team going to the postseason, it's a win for the entire region.
It's good for business.
It's good for business. So listen, don't ever think that when you listen to me, guys, and I say that the Giants are this or that, and it may be something that's negative, that's personal. Because at the end of the day, I'm a fan of New York. So I want New York to be happy. If Jet fans can't be happy, if Knicks fans can't be happy, you know, I want the Nets fans to be happy. So don't ever think that I'm rooting against a team, because I want them to play well, right? There's no beef there. And as you can see with the Open today, when they ball out and they do what they're supposed to do, I'm going to give them the credit. And I'm not going to take one slice away or try and be negative at all. Today is the day to be happy. Today is the day to celebrate. We'll talk about the ramifications going, you know, tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about Saquon and Detmore tomorrow. We'll talk about maybe, you know, the salary cap paying Gettleman, you know, more tomorrow. Unless you guys want to talk about it today, because this is your time to take a victory lap, because you did something that nobody thought you could do.
800-919-3776. Bruce is in Lincoln Park. Bruce.
Hello, guys. I just wanted to call as a proud Giant fan today, but I did want to tell you I'm not a frequent caller, but I did observe some things yesterday that I'd like you to kind of comment on. First of all, Russell Wilson is, I'm a big fan. He's my favorite player, and I never saw him so confused about evaluating a game and what he could do. They seemed like even when he was going to tuck and run, they took away his running lanes. I just couldn't believe it. I think Joe Judge outcoached Pete Carroll, which was really something to behold too for a rookie coach. And the last thing I'll leave you with for you to discuss, if Cleveland could trade for Jabril Peppers straight up for Odell Beckham, would they make that trade? Thanks, guys. I'll listen.
Let's start with the last one, right? Because, I mean, right now Cleveland's playing much better without Odell Beckham. We call that addition by subtraction, right? Because now you don't have to feel like you have to make him happy. But remember, it wasn't just Jabril Peppers in that trade. You know, it was I forget who else was involved in that trade, but it wasn't a one for one. And Jabril Peppers is coming to his own. You know, he's coming to his own. He's playing much better. But Jabril Peppers wasn't that same player in Cleveland. So I think it's one of those cases where you can always come home, and he come home. He's a Jersey boy. And the fact that he's able to play in front of his home fans, and now he has a team that gave him a fresh start. Sometimes there's so much pressure only put on you when you're a first-round draft pick and you go to your first city and you're trying to live up to expectations. When he came here, nobody had those expectations for him because he wasn't a first-round draft pick and he was more mature and ready to handle a fresh start and be able to take advantage of it. Now, to go to his other statement about did Joe Judge out-coach Pete Carroll, I mean, that's tough to say. I mean, he definitely put a great coaching performance and a great game plan together, and his players executed it. I think really what was the key was the fact that those front seven, those front four, right, were able to dominate at such a clip that it allowed them to put more people in the passing game, right? They were saying, hey, if you're going to beat me, Russell Wilson, you're going to beat me a death by a thousand paper cuts. You're going to beat me by dinking and dunking and throwing the ball because we're going to keep eyes on Russell Wilson so he can't have these 10, 15-yard runs. And that's what they did. That's why you go in the zone and you have people over the top so guys can have eyes on the quarterback, especially when he's a mobile quarterback, a guy that doesn't want to run like Lamar Jackson all the time or Josh Allen, but he's a guy that's capable of doing that if that's what you continue to present to him. So they stayed out of a lot of cover one, man-to-man things. And for that, you know what I mean? And what really limited them is when they saw their own teammate out there, and it was like barbecue chicken all day. You know what I mean? They were playing rock, paper, scissors. Like, yo, I want it my turn. No, mm-hmm. No, you had them two plays. I want them. So they were, whether it was Lawrence, like, just rolling him over, whether it was Big Cat, you know, just giving him, hitting him with the Deacon Jones head slap. Like, they took advantage of it. And that's what great teams do. They identify a weakness, and they don't have any mercy on it. They continue to go on after and sweeping the injured leg.
That's got to be the most. That's be the loneliest feeling out there when you know that they're just taking turns and attacking you, knowing you're the weakness of that line, and there's just not a damn thing you can do about it.
You know, Wheeler's parents at home.
Oh. Like, throw it in town.
Yeah,
throw it in town.
This was supposed to be an exhibition. Just throw to clarify, the Giants got Peppers, but they also got the first round pick, the 17 overall, which I believe that was Dexter Lawrence,
right?
If I'm not mistaken, okay, and then they also got a third round pick as well. That year, along with Pepper. So that was part of that trade. All right, we'll get back to the calls at 800-919-3776. We haven't had a chance to really go pick up on what else happened in Week 13 in the NFL. We'll try to do that, but we'll keep the calls rolling. I also got to give you a James Harden update, Bart.
Oh,
I got to give you a James Harden update. There's always that. We have Rex Ryan coming up at noon as well. Busy show. Lots happening. The Jets have reportedly fired Greg Williams the day after,
allegedly,
that play call yesterday, which I think in the future you might look back and say, that was a great day for the Jets. But, of course, that remains to be seen. Before we get back to calls here, let's just go over a couple of the headlines. A big headline today, obviously, it happened while we just were opening the show. Greg Williams reportedly fired by the Jets. Samini has this. Shefty has it. So it's one of those things where you just, all right, you get it, you understand why, but it's that also he's being held accountable, but no one else, you know, that's the part that makes you uneasy, because you know Gase's relationship with Christopher Johnson, but Bart seems pretty secure on continuing to say that Gase will be gone on Black Monday when the season is finally over, so maybe we'll see. And then we'll wonder about Greg Williams' legacy on this franchise, depending on what happens, of course, with that draft pick going forward. The Jets still have at Seattle, at Rams, Cleveland, and then at Patriots to finish the season. I don't see any wins there. But at least as a Jets fan, you're hoping not to, but you do feel bad for the players. Just again, quickly around the league, Kansas City and the Saints both clinched their playoff spots already, so they're already locked in. The Steelers could do that today, I believe, with a win against Washington. Browns, you know, are legit. They just absolutely just pounded Tennessee in that first half. What a performance by them. Arizona lost again. They are now in a wild card battle. The Rams with a big win, and that Seattle loss combined with the Rams win, and now suddenly the Rams now in control in the West. The Chargers get smoked 45-0. Terrible special teams for the Chargers. Anthony Lynn now under a lot of fire about his job going forward. And now Jalen Hurts is the starter in Philly. He took over for Carson Wentz. I know Peterson hasn't said so yet, but everybody believes that Jalen Hurts now will take over because Carson Wentz has just struggled. He really has struggled, and the Eagles continue to fall apart, and the wheels come off that franchise. The Giants get the win over Seattle. They have won four straight. They're 5-7, and with Arizona, Cleveland, at Baltimore, and Dallas left, they have a shot at 7 wins, which is something that you would think a couple of weeks ago you'd never would have expected. On the NBA real quick, Bart, James Harden has yet to report to Rockets training camp. And you remember Stephen Silas, the new coach, was first saying how I'm going to give him space. And I don't, now he was asked about Harden's commitment. Then he said, well, that's a question you're going to have to ask him, which now all of a sudden it sounds less like we're going to give him space and more like, I don't know, there's a distance now happening here. So keep an eye closely on what's going on with him. He'll have to show up eventually or they can find him. But he's not happy about life in Houston. He's trying to get to Brooklyn, and we'll see if it can happen. All right, let's grab a call. Matt and Brewster. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guy?
How we doing?
So, just wanted to talk about how crazy it is that the Jets missed out on Matt Rhule because he wasn't allowed to pick his own staff. Specifically, they didn't want to lose Greg Williams. Mm-hmm. And now we have one of the worst play calls in the history of the NFL, and he's fired. So we got stuck with Adam Gase because of Greg Williams.
Yeah, that's something that's really interesting, that, right? And thanks for the call, Matt. It is interesting to point that out. Matt Rhule was a candidate for the Jet job, but the reports were that he said no because they were going to say to him, well, you got to bring in these coaches. And he's like, I want to bring in my own coaching staff. And they said no. And so now the result of that is where we are right now. That mentality's got to change, Bart. It does. Whoever the next head coach is cannot be told who they're bringing in as assistants.
If you believe in them as a coach, you got to believe in them as an evaluator and see what type of staff they can put together themselves and see if they want. Because, Joe Judge was told that he had to take Jason Garrett, but that worked out. So it's not a one-size-fit-all.
Yeah, but this one obviously did not work out. And it's coming apart at the seams. Greg Williams now gone. Adam Gase, clock is ticking. Yo, this is a good one. A good one today off week 13. Let's go. Audio files.
The audio file.
And real quick, by the way, our SNY quote of the game winner is Michael Diaz from New Jersey. That might have been the easiest one of the season. But he was right. It was Lamar Jackson, so. Okay, let's get to it. So I want to remind everybody. So Quinnen Williams, by the way, just quote tweeted a SportsCenter report that Greg Williams had been fired. And when he quote tweeted it, he added facepalm emojis, which would suggest, I guess, that he's not thrilled about this. I wonder how Marcus May is going to have to deal with whatever he's got to deal with in that locker room if there are some guys that really loved playing for Greg Williams, which Quinnen was one of them last week when we had him on as our Jets guest of the week. Remember, he brought up what he loved about Nick Saban and threw Greg Williams into the mix. Take a listen.
So I definitely feel like that's the best way to build any organization, man, any business, anything like that, about a standard, a culture, and just a process, man. Without a process, without a standard, man, you have nothing, man. You have no culture. So if you can get there, if you got a leader who sets that level and that thing, the process like that, and the winning organization, you got Belichick, who got it, Andy Reid, who got it, Coach Saban, Dabo Sweeney, all these great coaches, got a standard and a process, and you see why those coaches are so successful and what they do. So I believe that if you got a process and you're hard coaching and things like that, if you know how to take it, you're going to have a great winning person in you. So I definitely believe that. Like Greg Williams, everybody, Greg got the notorious thing about how hard he coaches, man. I love it. Like, I just feel like every time we go on the field, like, I'm going to go fight for Greg, because Greg knows, like, he's going to put me in the best predicament to win his games.
The best, he misused the word predicament, but kind of ironically, that's the right word in this case.
Just got his braces off.
No, I understand, but he definitely put them in the best predicament to win yesterday. It's no question about that. But Bart, do you wonder if maybe in that locker room it might get a little divided?
No, listen, Marcus May had a job to do, and the job was to do to protect Lamar Jackson and say that it should have been a better call, you know, understanding what the personnel was. Yeah, I don't think Marcus May, by any stretch of the imagination, was trying to get Greg Williams fired, but he was trying to stand up. And sometimes as a team and as a leader, you know, we've seen guys say that. I mean, we've heard people, you know, defend beast mode, should have got the ball, right?
Yes.
And played it, ended up losing the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when things like that happen, the guys that follow you as a leader, as far as the leader of the players, then they expect you to say what they know they can't say. So Marcus May or Quentin Williams are the only ones who can make that statement. And Marcus May did that because he felt like that's what was the opinion of the majority of the group.
I'm curious. I would love to be a fly on the wall in that locker room right now just to see that conversation. But Quentin didn't sound too happy. Meanwhile, in the Giants locker room, as you would say, Bart, Hakuna Matata.
Yep. Kuda Matata.
I mean, they are really in a good place right now as a franchise, and they have a head coach who's very much in charge. He's made that clear on a number of occasions, even from day one. We saw it in training camp, the way he was demanding a high standard, and the players, most of them at least, have lived up to it. Those who haven't are falling off the wayside. Even coaches who didn't live up to it were pushed out. As we saw recently, they are winning. They are on their way right now, a favorite to win the division, which is improbable. And Joe Judge, after the game, didn't just talk about how the stars and the players, as we said in the beginning, remember that he talked about teaching. He talked a lot about teaching players. So we've got guys like Trey Crowder. You've got guys like Carter Coughlin, a seventh-round pick. These are guys that are making plays in a big game for the Giants late in the season. That says a lot, and Joe Judge is very proud. Take a listen.
We like them. They're good players. They're improving. They've shown us reason to put them on the field. You know, we've put them out there. They've made, you know, one play, so we give them an opportunity to make two plays. They've done that, and we're getting a lot of solid contributions from guys that are veterans, a lot of solid contributions, guys that are, you know, young guys, rookies. And, look, I can't stress enough, I don't care how you get here. I don't care if you're, you know, a seventh-round pick, undrafted, first round. It doesn't matter. Like, that's all done once you get in the door. Once you walk through the door, everyone's on level playing ground. And, you know, you go out there to practice, you have to earn every rep you get. And when you get on the field, you have to perform with it. So, again, you know, I think our guys understand that, you know, everybody has the same chance every week of going out there and playing. And it all comes down to how they perform on the field and how they prepare.
I mean, everything about this dude, I mean, I'm sorry. One thing I'll say about Joe Judge, Bart, is what we've learned. He's incredibly consistent, isn't he?
Yeah.
And that message continues. Everybody's on the same level. You were an undrafted guy that came in from a 1AA, and you made a name for yourself because you got an opportunity in a similar type of situation like this. Agree?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about. You know, and what happens is you see that effort and production will be rewarded. Then you'll put the consistent effort in, and you'll put the consistent time in to make sure that you're able to get an opportunity, because you know what the rules are to get an opportunity. So it's fair for everybody.
That's the main thing. Again, consistency from your coach, and everybody gets a fair opportunity, a fair shot. That all matters, and that's what you've got going on with the Giants right now. What's happening in Philly? It's a mess. Carson Wentz struggled early, and Doug Peterson had to do it, and he went to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts did not... They had a little bit of a push to make it a game late against Green Bay, but it really was never a game. And now for Carson Wentz, the question is he no longer the starter? Here's Wentz after the game.
Do you think you should be the starter?
Listen, that's not for me. I know what I'm capable of. I know I can play better. I never have doubted myself or lost my confidence in my abilities. But, you know, like I said, a lot of these things are outside of my control.
He's going to be the quarterback going forward. The question is, will Doug Peterson be the coach?
Or will somebody trade for him? I'll take that contract.
That contract, you would?
Former MVP. He's not making Russell Wilson money. He's not making Deshaun Watson money. So if you get him...
It's a two-year investment, though. You can't do anything with him for two seasons. So
yeah, but if he's bad early, you're stuck with him. But he can be fixed. So, I mean, if you're the Colts, wouldn't you trade a second round? If you can get him for a second round draft pick...
I like that
fit. Are you doing is...
With that offensive line, right. I like that fit.
Who does Carson Wentz remind me most of?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Like with his ability to run the ball, run RPOs.
But does he process the way Luck did?
Well, he look who he's throwing to.
Fair.
He don't have time. Nobody's been hit more than him. He put his back foot in the ground.
No, he's constantly getting
sacked. He's on pace to be sacked 60 times this year. So if you put him behind that great mountain of a wall, you think he worried about anything? If Phillip Rivers ain't getting touched, I think Phillip Rivers is the least sacked quarterback in the league.
Too.
So you put him behind there, he ain't getting hit. Now he's going to look like he looked during those years. And guess what? He can throw to T.Y. Hilton. He gets to throw to Pittman. He gets to throw to all these other weapons
and
that
they
have.
I'll tell you what, too, Bart. You'd almost think, right, like you'd probably get him at a good discount because Philly wants to move that contract.
Listen,
Philly would move that contract if they could.
Bro, what are they paying Phillip Rivers 1 year? $25 million.
Yeah, yeah.
What is 2 years time $25 million?
No, I get it. $50 million.
What is Carson Hicks hit? $50 million. Mm-hmm. So that's perfect. It just washes the books.
No, but yeah, you can get. I'm saying, listen, you can get him for a discount.
I just did the work for him. I just did the work for him.
Anthony's going to clip this off and save it so when that trade
and then somebody else going to. And Dan Orlovsky is going to be like, see what they should do. Like, really, Dan? Really? Really?
As I said the other day.
Right, exactly.
But we get that in the business all the time. But Jalen Hurts, first and foremost, for Philly, is going to have to at least show you something. If he does become the starter, he's got to show you a little different dynamic that maybe Philly gets a little excited about. Okay, he's more mobile, so our offensive line that's old and broken down, all right, he's probably better because he's more elusive and he can survive a bad offensive line. Well, he's got to show you something because if he sucks, then you can't trade Carson Wentz.
All those guys are going anyway, so let's see how quickly they can devise the Lamar Jackson type of offense, because he should be in the Lamar Jackson type of offense, because that's the type of athlete he is. He's a 4-5, 40 guy. He's a guy that can do the RPOs and also do the form of the triple option, because that's what he did basically in Oklahoma. I know he threw the ball more, but that's what he's always been. He's an athlete too.
Oh, no question. He and Tua were different looks as well at Alabama.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Oh, let's go. Bart, do you realize there's three games left in this week?
Not getting hustled.
Oh, here we go.
Keeping your head above water. Making the way when you can. Temporary layoffs. Good time. Easy credit rip-offs. Scratching and surviving.
Here we go. Listen.
Yeah.
What is that?
We looked in the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
Or the Ebonics Dictionary, and we figured out what it said. So the actual words are. Hanging in the jiving. And so what is jiving is for all these young whippersnappers out there,
jiving?
I had to ask my mama what jiving means. So I guess jiving back in the day was a code word for hanging out and just messing around. So it was a hucker and a jiving. You know what I'm saying?
Are you sure? Because see, Johnny Y on Twitter is telling us, he insists. Lyrics Fine claims it's hanging in a chow line.
No,
if we can play it again, I'm telling you, play it again.
I was just looking at the song, and it had it said, and they were putting the words for every part of it. Hanging and a jiving. Not in a chow line. That is Dave Chappelle's show. That is Dave Chappelle's show.
Are you sure?
Hey, and it's because they sing, hanging in the jiving. Only here can you get the answer, the real answer to the 30-year-old question from black folks.
And Anthony now is mad at us because we wasted so much time on this, and we still got to do lunch money. We still got to make us some money.
Let's make some money.
Make some money. All right, quickly, let's put our daily fantasy team for these two games today. And this portion of the show is brought to you by your local Honda dealers. Contact one for a great deal today.
Honda.
Bart should be reading that from now on because, for that part. All right, so our daily team today for our two games, which is Washington at Pitt and Buffalo at San Francisco. We go Josh Allen, we'll go Mozart, we'll go Gibson. Diggs, Claypool, Ayuk, Croft, Samuel, and the Steeler defense. All right, quickly as we go through it. Pittsburgh is laying 6 in this game. I'll take the Steelers, man. I know emotionally this could be an upset game, but I'm taking the Steelers.
I'll take Washington.
Okay, and then Buffalo, San Francisco. Remember, that's being played in Arizona because the Niners are not allowed to play in the Bay Area right now. So that's a pick 'em, basically. But right now they have the Niners -1. As the sort of home team, I'm going Buffalo anyway. Same?
I'm going Buffalo as well.
Buffalo as well?
Yeah, they're being disrespected.
Yeah, they are being disrespected, I think. It's a big game, too. So I guess we won't know the truth. Is it hanging in a chow line?
Hanging
Is it
in
hanging
a
jiving?
Hanging
Did
in a jiving.
Did Greg
jive.
Williams call the code red because he wants the Jets to get Trevor Lawrence? There's so jiving. Many questions that remain unanswered. There might be something that we have to continue to discuss tomorrow. So, Bart, I'll see you then.
Not getting hassled.
Not getting hustled.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.